How much attention do you pay to what goes into your recycling bin? How confident are you about whether that plastic bottle or that pizza box can even be recycled? Do you ever throw things into your bin with the hope that it can be recycled? If so, you're not out of the ordinary, and this hour we're going to put you and others to the test when we talk about recycling programs in our region and how they may be changing as a result of a big policy change in China that has sent ripples through the global recycling industry. That's all this hour on the West Side. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us on this beautiful Monday morning in Western Wisconsin. You're hearing us right now on Ideas Network stations 88.3 WHWC, Menominee Eau Claire, and 88.7 WRFW in River Falls. Joining me for the discussion today, we've got two guests who are very familiar with the world of recycling. First, joining me in the studio, we have Megan Hines. She is the Dunn County Recycling Specialist. Megan, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Me too. Thanks for joining us. Joining us by phone, we have another superstar in the recycling world, Ray Zeman. He is the director of Barron County's Waste to Energy and Recycling Plant. And it's a really unique program, and it's all one and the same, but Barron is a little unique in our region in terms of waste to energy. So Ray Zeman, welcome to the program.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. Listeners, we want to hear from you. Tell us, I mean, if you've got questions or comments about what, even if you're not in Dunn County or Barron County, our guests can give you a good idea of who to contact and best practices. We're talking about recycling, and it's something that's become so commonplace that maybe some people are a little lackadaisical when it comes to the actual rules. And also, this change in policy in China back in 2018 has made some big news. Journal Sentinel did a really, really in-depth look at how it might be impacting communities in Wisconsin. So we've got a lot of discussion coming up. And we have three open phone lines for you, so if you've got a question or a comment, 1-800-228-5615. So I just kind of want to start with the basics, and Megan, I'll start with you. You know, it's probably different, I'm sure it's different from community to community, but in general, for those of us that live in the city or those of us that live in the rural areas, what happens to the stuff that goes in the bin or the container that you haul to the county collection site?
So what happens after you put your recyclable materials in your bin or container? You may have a hauler that's picking it up curbside, or you may take it to a drop-off facility. From there, it moves to a recycling process facility. That's called a MRF. It's a materials recovery facility. That's where your material is sorted, if you haven't already had to sort it at the curb. And then it is processed and baled and sold on the markets to end recyclers.
So up in Barron County, Ray Zeman, you've got a recycling plant. Is that what we would consider a MRF?
Yes, that is correct. In Barron County, as you specified earlier, we are a little unique. We have the waste energy facility here, and we also have the recycling facility on the same grounds. So we've got 28 drop boxes spread out throughout the county. And in those drop boxes, we collect the three different types of plastics, the tin, the aluminum, and the glass. And those boxes are retrieved by our own truck, brought back to the facility here. And then in our MRF is where we separate that into the three different types of plastics, tin and aluminum. We bale certain materials, and then we get it ready for shipment to the markets.
So when we talk about to the markets, where does it go from there? I mean, it's processed, it's baled. I've seen the bales on back of trucks. I mean, I've seen the facilities that are putting this stuff together and kind of smashing it down. Who's buying the stuff?
Well, most of our markets in Barron County here, we either have most of our markets in the cities, and we also have some down in the Milwaukee area. But once we send that materials to them, they take that material, and then it goes to different plants where they actually melt it down and recycle that into another product.
And Megan Hines, as far as... Well, actually, we're going to get into the contamination because it's part of this National Sword discussion. But one of the common questions, and it's, I don't know if it's a misconception, but there's always talk of subsidies. And, you know, whether or not these recycling programs would exist without some sort of state support, is that, because I've talked with people before that said, well, there's not a subsidy. Am I wrong about that?
So in Dunn County specifically, we don't receive any general property tax levy. So we are a self-sufficient program. So whatever revenues we generate via the money we get from selling our recyclables and user fees, that has to cover all of our expenses. There is a state grant program that mm-hmm. helps pay for recycling in the state of Wisconsin, but it is not funded by property taxes. It is funded by a tipping fee when material is brought to a landfill. A certain portion of that goes into a recycling fund dedicated to providing help from the state in the form of grant money.
Tipping fee is generally a per ton sort of a thing?
Correct.
Okay. And Ray Zeman, with regard to the rates and self-sufficiency and all that, what about what's going on in Barron County? Is that a situation where there's county tax dollars, or is it kind of a self-generated revenue sort of a situation?
Yeah, we are slightly different than Dunn County. We do have a $24 per parcel charge in the taxes for our recycling center, and then also through the revenues that we receive. And then just like in Dunn County, we also receive grant monies because we are the responsible unit for Barron County, all of Barron County, with the exception of the city and town of Rice Lake.
We do have a caller on the line. We're going to go straight to them, and I want to encourage people to call in with your questions or comments. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call if you've got questions. If you want to, we've got two guests that are very knowledgeable on this. We've got Megan Hines, she's the Dunn County Recycling Specialist, and Ray Zeman, who's the Director of Barron County's Waste-to-Energy and Recycling Plant. 1-800-228-5615. We had also reached out to Waste Management spokesperson Lynn Morgan. She wasn't able to join us this morning, but we still can take your calls and your questions. Let's go now to William in Frederick. William, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Well, the comment I had, and I've noticed this over many years, I've been a county board supervisor up here, and there's very little attempts made at event recycling, community events and those kind of things. Sometimes Village of Frederick did a little bit, but you have the street dances and all the community event kind of things. It's all you see are trash cans. Mm. And the same thing kind of goes for all outdoor public sort of places, gas stations and those sorts of things. All you see is a trash can. Never see segregated recycling. So Polk County's recycling department doesn't seem to want to take any initiative in promoting that or getting communities involved. But so that's something I've seen over the years that really, really needs to be dealt with.
All right. Thanks so much for the comment. We appreciate it, William. 1-800-228-5615. Megan Hines, I'll go to you. As far as recycling, you know, is it any different? Is it approached any different at a big event or, you know, at the curb for someone's personal, you know, little green bin?
Well, it is the law to recycle in Wisconsin, whether you're at home, whether you're at school, at the park, at a community event. So it really is about providing those opportunities to recycle and then providing the education for people to know where to put their materials. Because if you don't provide that education, even if you have a recycling bin, sometimes people are going to throw trash or then throw other things in there. So providing signage, if you're at a community event, a town festival, you may have a lot of plastic bottles or cans, you know, making sure, you know, residents know, can you mix them together? Can you not? Especially there may be people from out of town whose rules are different than the community that the festival is being held in. So clear signage and having a recycling bin paired with every trash bin is a best practice to have the cleanest recycling at these events.
And Ray Zeman, I thought it was interesting that, you know, the recycling law in Wisconsin was passed in 1990. And it mandates the recycling of certain materials. But it also seems, from what I've been, you know, gathering, that different communities can accept different materials, and different communities do different things as far as outreach, education, et cetera. So, does that create some sort of a patchwork? And what? How does Barron County, you know, respond to big events where there's a lot of people outside, and there might be a lot of recycling, like maybe aluminum?
Yeah, to respond briefly to your caller's question there, we have an upcoming Barron County Fair that starts on July 17th to 21st. And we've had some conversations with some local haulers in the area here, and we're going to be installing some bins at that fair there for recycling. We also have a booth there at the recycling or at the Barron County Fair where we man that booth as much as we can, and we answer a lot of questions. So we're reaching out to the public that way. Other ways that we also reach out to the public is through the University of Wisconsin Extension Office in Barron County. So we're able to educate the public and, you know, let them know what is recyclable and what's not recyclable. Wish recycling is a phrase that you hear a lot.
Yeah.
And people wish that they could recycle certain items, and unfortunately those items aren't able to be recycled. But we do reach out to some of the areas. When we're not doing curbside recycling currently in Barron County, but we're doing our drop boxes. So our drop boxes are spread throughout the county, 28 different locations. So in those specific areas, if they have events, those drop boxes are available for recycling also. And then on that box is a brochure that we also try to get out and educate the public. And anybody in Barron County could also go on to the Barron County site, and we go into the departments and then waste energy and recycling. We have our brochure in there, our prices, different rates for e-waste, and so on.
1-800-228-5615. We did have a caller that reached out earlier and wanted to know whether or not Wisconsin is taking Minnesota waste. And I can kind of speak to this because I grew up in Superior, and Superior for a while had a policy where they were basically being paid from the neighboring Duluth, Minnesota. They were accepting waste from Duluth. But as a general policy, Megan Hines, do you know if any of that's going on in maybe the neighboring, you know, borderline communities?
So Wisconsin does accept some of the solid waste from Minnesota. Typically, the recyclables aren't as much coming this way. Many of the larger MRFs in the area are in the Twin Cities market area. So a lot of the recyclables collected and transferred from Western Wisconsin do get processed at a MRF in the Twin Cities.
Okay. 1-800-228-5615. We're going to come back after a short break here, but I want to talk. First off, we're going to talk about National Sword. It's a very intimidating sounding policy, but we'll get into what it means for recycling programs in Western Wisconsin. I'm Rich Kramer. This is the West Side. Joining us for the discussion today is Ray Zeman, director of Barron County's Waste to Energy and Recycling Plant, and Megan Hines, Dunn County Recycling Specialist. And we'll take your calls, 1-800-228-5615. We'll be right back.
Support for WPR comes from Port Washington Tourism, featuring boutique shopping, fine dining, and museums in downtown Port Washington, nestled on the shore of Lake Michigan. A visitor guide and more is at visitportwashington.com.
If you know someone who's 60 or better and in need of a good time, Trinity's Joy Day is all about getting out, enjoying entertainment, and more. The next Joy Day is Thursday, April 11th, 1:30 p.m., Knights of Columbus Hall, Chippewa Falls. Information at 715-858-9803.
In 2018, China enacted a policy that changed the global recycling game. For decades, that country was the world's largest buyer of recyclables from countries like the U.S., but then it made changes to what it would accept and how much contamination would be allowed. So this has changed the market and is reportedly having an impact on Wisconsin. Today on the West Side, we're trying to take a deeper look to see whether it's having an impact on our region. I'm joined by Megan Hines. She's the Dunn County Recycling Program Specialist, and Ray Zeman, who's the director of Barron County's Waste to Energy and Recycling Plant program up there. And the waste to energy is a very unique thing that we're going to talk about in just a bit as well. So first off, I want to talk about National Sword. And Megan Hines, what is National Sword? I mean, it was something that was announced in 2017, then went into effect the beginning of last year, right?
Yeah, so National Sword is basically an environmental policy that China enacted to help create a better environmental state for China. They basically wanted less contamination in the recycling that we were sending over there, because quite frankly, some of the recycling that we sent over there was pretty much full of garbage. So they were kind of sick of being the world's dumping ground and wanted to kind of enact these standards. And they made some contamination standards. They didn't necessarily ban mixed paper and mixed plastic from coming over there, but they made the contamination standards so tough to reach that it essentially is impossible to meet that contamination standard. So shippers are really not sending material over there for fear that they're going to get rejected and have to have that sent back.
And I had heard, I've read different things about this policy, like that it did ban certain things, but then it didn't. And I've even seen different like percentages of what contamination is acceptable in different reports from different advocacy groups. I mean, it seems kind of confusing.
Yes, and it has kind of evolved over time. So it is, you know, tough for recyclers to remember those standards, to know that. So I think what it really has focused on is looking back to a domestic market. How can we get these materials recycled domestically versus relying on China and their ever-changing standards?
Ray Zeman, when we talk about contamination and recyclables, what kind of things are we talking about? What kind of things might surprise people?
Probably the biggest contamination that we have, and it's kind of a real burdensome on the MRFs, is the plastic bags. Plastic bags gets entangled in a lot of equipment. We recycle through the sort boxes right now or through our drop boxes. And in our drop boxes, we ask that the material just be dumped freely in there, because that when that goes into our MRF, it goes over a conveyor belt, and then we pick the materials off and throw them into the appropriate bins. So when it comes across with all the bags, we got to open up the bags. You know, there's also some safety standards there that we're concerned about if there's needles or punctures inside these bags. So I would say that plastic bags is probably our biggest problem. However, there are several other issues with containers having food in them, or the bottle caps are a different type of plastic, so we have to remove the bottle caps. And there's just a lot of labor intensity in that.
And that's so interesting, because you know, I'm guilty of having thrown a bag full of cans or something into the recycling dumpster at an apartment that I lived at. I thought, if anything, I was doing a favor to people. And I thought, well, the machinery, the technology for sure could have taken care of that. So Megan Hines, I remember when I was younger, this was kind of new. The recycling was new. Everything had to go in specific little containers. And boy, oh boy, did we wash those bottles out and strip the labels off of the jars and things. But now we've got single stream, and it seems easier, but however, habits changed.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. So Dunn County is still a source-separated county, so we still collect recycling in those 7 or 8 different containers. So we have residents sort number 1 plastics from number 2 plastics from number 5 plastics. We have a bin for paper, a bin for cardboard, a bin for glass, a bin for aluminum, a bin for steel. So that's kind of how recycling started out in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It's real labor-intensive for our residents and for even us on the back end. We're hand-sorting the material at our facility in Dunn County. But what it does in this market especially, it provides a really clean product. We have less contamination, at least between the materials. Still certainly things that people are throwing in there that we'd like them to not throw in there. So we're working on some education with that. But it's a little bit different than the single stream recycling, which many people in Western Wisconsin have access to, where you throw everything into your recycling bin. Super convenient for residents. It's kind of almost mindless sometimes to throw. It's recyclable. It goes in my bin. But then it provides some challenges for certain materials, especially our glass in a mixed mixed recycling, that makes it really tough and really contaminated for that. So while it's easier and you typically get more volume, you typically have more contamination. And in the markets right now, contamination is really, really tough, and it makes it really difficult to sell your materials for a premium price.
Ray Zeman, up in Barron County, things are dropped off, I would assume, so that it's already kind of pre-sorted. Do you have that cleanliness of the stream or of the materials coming in that Megan mentioned?
No, Barron County still provides a lot of wish recycling, unfortunately. That's just something that we have to educate the people better at. Currently, what we're looking at right now, since 1992, we've been doing recycling in the form of 28 different drop boxes throughout the county. So with input through the booths at the fair and through the public, a lot of the public is wanting to go single sort. So we are looking into a single sort program right now. The big MRFs, they're multi-million dollar MRFs, and Barron County cannot compete with that type. So that's why we are bringing in the materials the way that the fashion that we're bringing them in through the drop boxes, because they're already somewhat sorted.
Mm-hmm.
A single sort into our MRF would not work very well at all, and we can't compete with those multi-million dollar MRFs. So we are looking at doing that currently. I'm not sure where we're going to go with that or at what time frame we're looking at, but getting into a single sort, the public is really in a desire for the single sort. So that's how we're trying to react to the public's input.
Again, it's just interesting how different it can be from county to county, or whether you live in the rural area or the city areas. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call if you've got questions or comments. So National Sword, you know, China's policy basically clamped down on contamination, and I thought I remember a story saying it was something like contamination, it has to be 99.5% free of contamination, which I've been told by other people, other than Megan, that's just undoable with the way our systems work in the U.S. right now. So, Ray Zeman, have you noticed any changes, you know, locally in Barron County to the way you do things based on this policy half a world away?
Well, we have to react to that half a percent of contamination. So the way that we are reacting to that is we're spending more time sorting and, you know, getting our quality of our recyclables up before we ship them out. There is still markets out there for a higher contamination, but the lower the contamination you get, obviously you're going to get a better price.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're trying to do through our MRF as best as we can, sorting that materials. But again, that becomes very labor intense, and every time you touch something, it costs a little bit more money. So we're trying to streamline that through a single sort and education. Education, you can't just speak about education enough. There's also different technology out there where they have cameras in boxes, and we're also looking into doing something like that. One thing that we have found out is we've got 28 drop boxes, and throughout the county where these boxes are in more of a rural area, the contamination is quite a bit higher than it would be, say, a box at a city in a Quick Trip parking lot where there's already surveillance cameras.
Mm.
So we're looking and also looking at that and repositioning some of our locations in our hubs.
So the more rural areas, people might just throw straight garbage in there.
A little more wish recycling happens in rural areas, unfortunately.
I see. 1-800-228-5615. So, you know, Ray Zeman mentioned that they're trying to get closer to that contamination level that China set, even though the domestic companies, are they clamping down on the companies that buy it? Are they saying, listen, we want a cleaner product as a result of, what, more material being available? Or what's going on, Megan Hines?
Absolutely. So with everyone trying to switch to a domestic recycler, it really has created an oversupply. So those domestic markets can be very choosy on what they pick, and they can be, the market's prices have been lower because of supply and demand. So we're really doubling down in Dunn County, both on education, trying to get, you know, everyone back to the basics. This is how we recycle. This is what we recycle. The Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin, which is a statewide recycling industry, has launched a Recycle Right Wisconsin campaign with the same kind of focus of, you know, contact your local program for the exact specifics of what to recycle. But here are some general, you know, rules and guidelines. You can find more information at recyclemorewisconsin.org. We're also kind of touching things a lot of times when we're focusing on quality in Dunn County. So we're not only having residents sort, and our haulers are helping sort at the curb or at the drop-off facility. You know, we have workers at our facility who are hand sorting the material as well as it's going up the baler. So, mm-hmm. And it's like Ray said, it's an expensive thing, but it helps get that premium price on the markets. For example, in Dunn County in 2018, we received 20% less revenue than we did in 2017, even though we recycled 5% more recyclables by weight in 2018.
Hmm.
And that's a trend we figure is going to continue, that we may collect more recycling and get paid even less for it in 2019.
Ray Zeman, you noticing same thing, price for the materials that people are buying from you going down?
Yes, we are. We're actually noticing the contamination percentage going up. 2016, 2017, 18, it's just continually contamination is going up. And what's driving that contamination, obviously, is that 0.5% again. So the standards are different in 2018 than they were in 2016. So obviously your contamination rates are going to go up, and that's going to affect your end dollar.
So what happens to material if a company that buys this, a bale of plastic, says, well, the contamination's too high, we don't want it? What can a county or a municipality or whoever do with that?
Well, typically what we have is we don't have a rejection in the material. We just got a reduction in the prices.
Oh, I see.
So we constantly monitor that, and we move our own materials through the facility so we can kind of standardize things. But like I say, it's not necessarily that they're going to reject them and return them, but they will reduce the prices. They get back to us and let us know that maybe there's a little too much newsprint in the cardboard. That percentage has really changed over the last couple years here. We were getting pretty decent money on our cardboard, and now it's almost costing us money to recycle cardboard.
Wow, that's interesting. 1-800-228-5615. We are loading up with calls, and I love it. So let's go right into the phone bank here. And we've got Scott. Scott, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a question, maybe for Ray, and that is a waste to energy, and wondering a little bit more about what type of equipment is out there that can actually maybe handle more contaminated or a variety of different materials and turn that into thermal energy, but not have an air pollution problem?
All right. Thanks for the call, Scott. 1-800-228-5615. Yeah, waste to energy. What exactly is it in Barron County, and what are the options for maybe people in other counties that might want to consider it?
Well, Scott hits on a very important part there. We do have the waste energy facility here. We're processing 100 tons, up to 100 tons a day of waste. So that waste is being burned and turned into steam. That steam is sold either to the Saputo Cheese Factory, which is right across the street, or the excess is to the XL Energy in a form of electricity. So it is being returned. It is being recycled in a fashion into renewable energy. With us having the waste energy facility here, we're able to incinerate some of that stuff that's very undesirable. We don't want to recycle something where it's going to cost monies to do that when we have the incinerator right next door on the same property that we can divert some of that real contaminated waste or real undesirables that we can still turn into energy. So we are still recycling it in renewable energy form.
And as for concerns about air pollution, I remember stories about numerous, and I don't know if it was you or it, we talked with people from the waste to energy facility before, and it's not cheap to comply with air regulations, right?
No, it is not. This incinerator here was dedicated in 1986, so we've been around for a long time. We went through several upgrades during those years. We used to have what was called an ESP, an electrostatic precipitator, and currently we have a 8-module bag house. Mm-hmm. And that bag house is able to remove more of the particulate out of the stack. So we're well within our standards now in those pollution guidelines.
We are going to go to the phones again. Chuck in Menominee, you're on the air. What's on your mind? Chuck? Thanks for calling. What's up?
Okay. Am I on the air?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What I'd like to ask in Dunn County is, have you got water bottles and pop bottles or pop plastic Gatorade bottles? Do you want the caps on them or do you want them removed?
I like the question. Simple to the
I'll
point.
My answer off the air.
All right. Thanks, Chuck. Megan Hines.
So in Dunn County, we are able to keep the caps on. We do ask that you open up the bottle, give it a quick courtesy rinse, and then you can put the caps back on. Our buyers are okay with that, but that does vary from program to program, so make sure you give your local program a shout and see what they want specifically with their caps.
And this is because the caps are a different plastic than the bottle, generally?
Typically, yes.
Very interesting. But in Barron County, Ray Zeman, you don't do it that way.
Yeah, we are actually removing the bottle caps just because it is a different form. We're trying to get it a little cleaner. We've also got like Boy Scouts and different schools in the area that will receive the bottle caps, and there's drives going around where they can buy maybe some playground equipment or something. So we've sure. donated some of that at times where we've taken the bottle caps and 55-gallon drums and donated them to schools.
Back to the phones we go, and this caller is from Colfax. I'm sorry, could I get your name, caller?
Yordis.
All right, thanks so much for calling. What's on your mind?
I take walks out on a county country road, and I find cans a lot that are jagged, and maybe a snowplow has gone over them, and they're dirty, and they're full of junk and dirt. And I wondered if I cleaned them up, would they be all right for recycling, or should they just be tossed? Because some are intact, you know, they're just thrown out the window, but... Hmm. Others are in pretty rough shape.
Great, great question.
That is a great question. And yeah, if they are able to get cleaned up, absolutely we would accept them as, you know, aluminum or steel cans, depending on which one they are. We do bale materials at the end after all this, so it does get smushed into really large bales, so it doesn't have to be an intact bottle. Same thing with paper. It doesn't have to be a full sheet of paper. It can be a Post-it note. It can be a piece of scrap paper, etc. Sometimes that's hard to get through our heads that, it, you know, we think, oh, it has to be a full piece to be recycled, but that's not really the case.
All right. Thank you so much for the question. 1-800-228-5615. Say, let's take our second break. We're talking about recycling in Western Wisconsin with Dunn County Recycling Specialist Megan Hines and Barron County Waste to Energy and Recycling Plant Director Ray Zeman. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. We're talking about recycling in general, what is acceptable. We're going to talk about wish cycling a little bit more here. And, of course, all of this discussion is kind of being brought up again. It's in the news right now because waste haulers, municipalities, everyone's kind of reacting to an oversupply of post-consumer material as a result of a policy change from China that happened in 2018, July 1, 2018. That is known as National Sword. So give us a call with your questions and your comments. 1-800-228-5615. We'll be back in just a bit.
Support for WPR comes from 54,000 members who provide the largest portion of WPR's income. They help us bring you familiar voices and new discoveries each time you tune in. Learn more about Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org. Support also comes from UW-Eau Claire Barron County, hosting Preview Day, April 10th, with a campus tour, admissions info, and the opportunity to meet faculty and students. Barron.uwec.edu.
You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio stations 88.3 FM and 88.7. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call if you've got questions or comments. We're talking about recycling programs in Western Wisconsin and how they may be impacted or how they have been impacted by a 2018 policy change in China. 1-800-228-5615. Joining me in the studio, we have Megan Hines. She is the Dunn County Recycling Specialist. On the phone, we have Ray Zeman, Director of Barron County's Waste to Energy and Recycling Plant. 1-800-228-5615. We've been having a lot of great calls coming in, and I see one rolling in as we speak. So, National Sword, okay, we've got a bit of a glut of materials. The domestic market is becoming a little more picky in how much contamination it will accept, which is changing the prices that municipalities are getting. Ray Zeman, you mentioned that, you know, surveillance seems to help people or help get people to play by the rules a little bit and make it easier for municipalities and companies to actually process this material and get it ready for sale. So are we to a point yet in Western Wisconsin where there might be some additional fees? Because I know, I mean, I've been in an office where the waste hauler tacked on a $100, $150 fee because of material that was in plastic bags in the recycling bin. Is that sort of thing happening with municipalities?
Well, it is. I think, unfortunately, it probably will drive it to some enforcement issues, possibly. But before we get to that point, again, like Megan has mentioned, and it's education. We just got to get the education out to the public. People want to do the right thing. And I think if we educate them and make it a little easier and try to streamline this product where we're not handling it as much, that will all help. Single sort, is what people want to do. I think they'd rather have the can at the end of their driveway rather than hauling it to a drop box in an area. So we are looking at doing that. It's education. It's really education is very, very important to get the people on the same track. We have in Barron County, we're a little unique right now because we have the city and town of Rice Lake that is a separate RU, a responsible unit, than the rest of Barron County. Mm. And currently, they are recycling a little bit different than we are. So we're having conversations about getting together and trying to make the county as a whole and do the same thing to try to get some of that confusion down.
What about in Dunn County? I mean, has it come to... I mean, first of all, have the companies that are... I mean, you contract with waste haulers, or does the county have its own trucks and everything?
So at our area collection stations, we manage seven area collection stations as well as the Dunn County Transfer Station and Recycling Center. Those area collection stations are staffed, which is one of the reasons we help help reduce that contamination, is we have attendants there that are more than willing to help residents make sure they're getting things in the right bin. Mm-hmm. So there isn't as much of the dropping stuff off that they shouldn't be, because we're trying to catch that as it's coming into us. But that is an added expense by having staff at these sites. Then we do contract with a hauler to bring the recyclable materials back to our transfer station where we process that and bale those materials. So there is cost associated with a hauling company.
But that hauling company isn't like keeping track of how much contamination is in the material.
Nope, they're just bringing it right to us as a service from our sites to our collection center. And that's where we're going through and hand sorting some more of that material, pulling out the things that were put in there that are not recyclable.
Because I was speaking with someone with the Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin who told me that, well, this was in Marathon County. It was Melissa.
Yes.
And I can't think of her last name right now, right?
Melissa Johnson.
Melissa Johnson, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's fantastic. And she said after all, you know, even with all the education she was trying to do to help residents do the right thing, she said a waste hauler got after them because the material, the bin they had outside had too much contamination. So... the question of maybe it's different from county to county or municipality to municipality, but in situations where the waste hauler is the one that's processing the material and taking the material, could the municipality get a fine for it?
They certainly could be charged more, for contamination, whether it's the, having bags and the recyclables, some of that kind of stuff. And even in Dunn County, in our office buildings a couple years ago, we realized, hey, we don't really have enough recycling bins, and it's not super accessible. So we went through a huge blueprint project, is what we called it, and added recycling bins to all county-owned buildings. So the public, if you're coming in to visit one of our offices, you're able to recycle a gamut of things. So it's really focusing not only on what you're doing out in the public, but making sure your own buildings, your own office buildings and stuff are recycling properly as well.
I want to touch briefly on what I've read as the Amazon effect. So Ray Zeman, I'll go to you. People are shopping more and more online. In fact, I shop almost exclusively online, which results in a lot of cardboard and other packing materials. So what does that effect mean for waste energy or recycling programs? Is it a boon? Because I've read that there's paper plants that have repurposed in Wisconsin to take old cardboard, get it ready to be used for new shipping boxes, or is it harming?
A very good question. The Amazon, ordering online, it has produced a lot more packaging, and it all depends on how that packaging is received here at the facility. Obviously, a lot of people will be putting that in just their normal waste stream, so that gets contaminated, and it needs to stay into that contaminated waste stream. However, in the normal recycling stream of the cardboard, like I say, right now we are down in revenues of that, and it's because we just can't keep it clean enough and baling it. So if we can keep it separated and keep it segregated, we can do that. We've got cardboard bins also. We've got our normal recycling drop boxes throughout the county, and then we've also got several cardboard containers that are throughout the county. And in those containers, when they're dumped into our recycling facility here, we can sort that before we bale it. But again, we've got to weigh that out. You can't constantly spend more time than what you're receiving in revenue on it, because then it just becomes a waste.
Yeah.
With it being right here next to the incinerator, we can take that contamination and we can handle that pretty easily by just bringing it around to the incinerator. And when we do that, we weigh that. So we're monitoring what our contamination and what our waste is. Anything that comes in a recycling box will be weighed. Anything that's discarded to the waste energy facility for incineration will be weighed and monitored as a contamination. But that's where Barron County, again, is a little bit unique, because we've got the waste energy facility attached to the recycling facility.
Yeah, and for Dunn County, tell me about the Amazon effect.
So we have seen a dramatic increase in the amount of cardboard we've received with all the online ordering. I think the most important thing is to have people break that material down, flatten your boxes.
Yes.
It not only helps the space in your bin, it helps haulers be able to get more through, and it helps let it go through our equipment better. We also asked if you cut it down in size, if it's a really large box, to be probably 3 or 4 feet in size to help get into the trucks on the curbside
sure.
bins. And also make sure you are recycling any of your paper receipts that come in there. Sometimes there are the plastic, I call them air pillows.
Yes.
Make sure you pull those out and recycle those with your plastic shopping bags, bringing them either to one of our Dunn County collection stations or back to a retailer like a grocery store.
Right, the plastic, the dreaded plastic bag. Let's go to the phones one more time. We've got Martha in Menominee. Martha, you're on the air. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, I'm really glad you're doing this. Oh, I'll try to make it quick. I have several questions. First of all, making recycling more user-friendly for elderly people. I have a lot of neighbors that just can't cut up big cardboard boxes into 3 and 4 foot sections.
Good point.
So there's one question. Number two, the numbers on the bottoms of some pill bottles and vitamin bottles are so small, it's hard for elderly people to read them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe some guidelines based more on the type of bottle than reading a tiny number on the bottom, which is difficult for a lot of older folks.
Sure.
Third, bubble wrap. I do a lot of shipping. I have a home business. So what about plastic shipping tape? It has a little paper on it. Can it still go? Can bubble wrap go with the plastic bags? That sort of thing. So can you address elderly user-friendly issues and address the shipping issues a little more?
Excellent questions. Thanks so much. All right. Where do we start? Which one do you want to start with?
So Megan I would say, for the elderly, if they're able to cut it down, that's great. If it's not the end of the world, they can bring it out to the curb, their hauler or whatever can, try to break it down for them.
Sure.
As far as the pill bottles, they typically are a number 2 plastic or a number 5 plastic. It kind of varies, but they are, some of those bottles are really small, and it's really difficult to tell the difference in them.
And those pill bottles, some communities take them, some do not, correct?
Correct. In Dunn County, we will take pill bottles that are either a number 1, a number 2, or a number 5 plastic.
Okay.
As far as the plastic mailers and plastic tape, so any bubble wrap or a bubble mailer would be acceptable to recycle with the plastic film and bags. But if it is a mailer or tape that has like a paper backing, there are some that are kind of a bubble mailer on the inside and a craft paper outside. Those are not recyclable at this time, and we ask that those be placed in the garbage.
All right. This is where we get into what is acceptable and what isn't, and we can only talk about what is, allowed in these two counties. But so pizza boxes, it's so ridiculous. To me, it's funny that a lot of people don't realize you can't throw out greasy cardboard and that you can't process that. So what other things might they be surprised about? Actually, I'm going to go to Ray Zeman. Say for this might be able to go into the waste of energy, but what about paper that has that, you know, shiny surface or some kind of coated paper? Is that different than newsprint? Is that different than regular printer paper?
Yes, our markets right now, the clean cardboard, where if you don't have any newsprint in it or any of the glossy, the ad paper, we can get a pretty decent price for just a corrugated cardboard. You get into the mixed bales and your price goes right down, the markets go right down on it. So with the waste energy plant here, and typically those items are hard to keep clean. They're just hard to keep clean in a MRF. When they hit the floor, they get pretty dirty. So some of those plastic wrappers that Megan was talking about that they recycle, we don't recycle that in Barron County, the film and the tape and those type of things. We're doing the plastic bottles. But the answer to the other gentleman's question there about the elderly, the plastic bottles, it is really hard to read some of those labels on the bottom. But if you can keep the one thing in mind, if you look at these bottles, if they're clear and they're real crinkly type like a water bottle, you can tell just by the feel of the bottle that mm-hmm. it's different than a number two natural. It's real obvious, and the twos and the fives are very similar. So that kind of answers that question.
Yeah. But so the pill bottles, that is a poly, what is that material? It's a polyurethane?
So a number two would be a high-density polyethylene. And then number five is a polypropylene plastic.
Oh, brother. So many different things to keep track of. And, you know, kind of going back to the single stream idea, that's not done in Dunn County at this
point.
Because
not.
Of the drop-off system.
Correct. We have a drop-off system. It's something that's been explored in the past.
Do people want it?
Absolutely. People want that convenience. People are busy. They want to be able to recycle and have that convenience and not have 8 bins in their garbage or in their garage. But if we're similar to Barron County, we have not the infrastructure to be able to invest millions of dollars in a single stream MRF. And we would need to, if we moved to single stream at our collection sites, we would have to collect that and then pay a hauler to ship it to another MRF in the Twin Cities. So by the time you would account for the shipping costs and our staffing costs, et cetera, we probably wouldn't be making any money mm-hmm. or very little money on that material, where now we make a sizable amount of our budget in revenue is from the sale of recyclables.
Very interesting. 1-800-228-5615. We might be able to take one more caller's question. So when we're looking out to the future with the idea that things have changed and there's more materials, Ray Zeman, what do you see as the future? Because, I remember some stories in the past that with the waste-to-energy program up there, there were some deficits and, you know, it's not a cheap facility to run. It's got some age on it. There was discussions, there was a motion made in 2017, I believe, to close it down, but that was kind of tabled and decided that that's not the course. So what is the picture for, say, the waste energy or just the recycling program in general in the future, knowing what has changed and what is still changing with regard to the prices you get? I mean, is it just going to get more and more expensive to recycle for municipalities and counties?
Yeah, I could answer that briefly here. I see we only got about 4 minutes left, and I can probably talk on that subject for another half an hour,
I'll
try to keep it real brief. In 2017, June 29th, the county decided to cancel the contract that they had with a private management firm, and now we are doing that in-house, so it's all county. So we are trying to stay in the black, and we're doing some pretty big things here at the incinerator. We put some new equipment in. We kind of turned a little leaf a little bit, trying to change our philosophy. And one of our philosophies in the recycling is we're trying to stay on the front end of this by reduce and reuse before we recycle. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's kind of the Barron County philosophy is to reduce, reuse, recycle, incinerate, and then landfill.
Sure. And I think that's kind of universal. What about the future for, Dunn County's program? you're making some money enough to keep the program afloat, and that's the waste, the solid waste program in general, right?
Correct. So
yeah, what's the horizon look like?
Yeah, so there's discussions in Dunn County. Our facility is about 30 years old as well, same kind of time frame as what Ray said with the incinerator. So we're looking at discussions on how can we potentially build a new facility, and what does that facility look like? How will we accept recyclables? Will we stay source separated? Will we move to a dual stream or a single stream material? Those are all discussions we're going to be having in Dunn County in the upcoming years.
And not every municipality runs its own MRF, right?
Correct.
I mean, a lot of, so would it maybe be more viable for some places to look at contracting with a waste energy or waste management or some other, you know?
You know, some municipalities do that. And I think some of the discussions will maybe need to be on a more regional scale, whether each county having its own facility and running its own program. Is there discussions for cooperation between counties or multi-county facilities moving forward?
You
know,
sure.
It's all things that are definitely on the table for discussion.
Regionalization, we've heard about it in so many other avenues where funding gets a little tighter. So I'll give you both a quick few seconds to kind of make your pitch. If you were able to get all your county residents in one room, what would you tell them, Ray Zeman?
If I was to get all my county residents in the one room, boy, it would really be to empty the bag before you put the material into the box. If we can get over that one small hurdle right there, it would really, really help us tremendously in our MRF.
Megan Hines, what about for the people of Dunn County?
I would say similar things. Just, you know, keeping your recyclables loose in your container, focusing on what goes in the bin. You know, our bins are labeled. Don't throw your batteries in there, your sharps, compressed tanks, et cetera. We have lots of programs for those, but you need to bring them separately to some of our drop-off facilities, not in your curbside recycling bin.
If you've got questions about what can be recycled, contact the people that know rather than just making a guess. I think that seems to be one of the comprehensive pieces of advice for residents. So that's our time. Thank you so much to my guests for their discussion. Thank you, Megan Hines, Dunn County Recycling Specialist, and Ray Zeman, Director of Barron County's Waste to Energy and Recycling Plant. Also, thanks for all the great questions. We had a lot of really great calls, so keep them coming. Until next week, have a safe and productive week. We will chat again next Monday morning right here on the West Side.